Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati podcast, episode 342. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by the Chris and Leon of LA.
Oh, Jesse, man. Alex. What a conundrum. Which one of us is Chris and which one of us is Leon? And
who's Let's be even... clear. Let's be clear. I'm Chris. You can be Leon, but I punch boulders.
Yeah. And we just finished Resident Evil 9. I feel amazing taking on the mantle of Leon.
Yeah, you can be Leon.
He's the most badass dude. Like,
punch a few boulders,
like his dirty ass coach's shirt, his dirty ass college football coach's shirt that he's wearing.
Did you love that line? For anyone who's playing Nine, minor spoilers here, so just like, you know, close your ears for a second. I loved when he went back to the RPD and he walked in and he's like, Lieutenant Marv or whatever his last name is.
Yeah,
Leon reporting for duty.
Yeah,
and you're just like all right. Little Leon. He just wanted to be a good boy cop, and he just had the worst first day ever.
Yeah. Don't you love walking back to places that you've been in your life and then saying the things that you said then to yourself?
It was cool though, but
it's gamer stuff.
I played like the first like 2 hours of Resident Evil 9 with Jess, and Jess had never seen any other Resident Evil, so we paused, and I'm like, let's rip through RE2 as Leon real quick.
Yeah.
And so we did that in like 7 hours. And then you come back and you pick up as Leon and go to RE. And it's like, oh, it's like a flashback. It was like an active flashback.
If anybody's worried about Mathis spoiling any portion of Resident Evil Requiem, let me tell you, that is just the tip of the fan service iceberg. Yeah, 100%. So just relax. Yeah, it's a great game. And you know where you're not going to find a copy of Resident Evil 9 Requiem available for free download? That is at patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod, because it's not there. Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. We do not offer bootleg games there. That's not something we do. Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. What we do there instead is what? What, Mathis? What's one thing we do on Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod?
You get all our main episodes 100% ad-free.
Right, exactly. And Jesse, what's another thing that we do on Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod?
Well, you get to watch Rotten Popcorn, a show where we watch truly terrible movies.
Yes, exactly. And not only that, we do a mini-sode after every single one of these motherfuckers.
And it's video versions of all of the episodes we do. Mini-sode.
I'm looking at these guys right now. If you get a video version, Dodgers hat.
No, not worth it. Save your money. No.
Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod.
Got another comment that we don't look like our voices from somebody the other day.
Well, I disagree because I've been looking at myself.
That's
the whole
true.
Time.
I believe that. I want to know what you think I look like. Can you draw me as a person who's been a face online for 25 years? Could you draw me how you think I look like? Because frankly, I would be honored.
It's Zap Brannigan. I would draw a picture of Zap Brannigan with red hair. That's what I would draw. Mathis, you sound like...
I don't want to know.
You sound pretty main character-y.
I don't think I have a main character.
You have a solid radio voice. You sound pretty main character. High-pitched witch laugh and like the voice of an old, like a wizard who's been stuck in a castle for 500 years. You sound like the main character of a RPG.
I thought I was like nasally sounding.
You kind of just have like a, well, you're a little bit, and you're definitely like, the RPG is definitely set in like New England. But other than that, like
yo, this quest is going to be wicked hard, dude.
Yeah.
Alex, I draw you almost, I feel like as you are almost, I feel like you fit your voice.
I'm just a caricature of a person in real life. So it's hard to think about somebody else when you think about me.
Maybe I met you. I met you in your life when you've already knew who you were. You know what I mean?
I don't look how I look. Like, to me, like the guy, like I don't even look how I think I look. Is that weird? I dress myself and I don't look how I think I look. I don't know. It's weird. Sure. It's weird being a person. Perception, right?
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
Lots of different points of view. And speaking of points of view, how about this? On Reddit, there is a subreddit, and it's a Chilluminati subreddit. And on that subreddit, we sometimes invite you to share your points of view with us, because sometimes on here, we do listener stories episodes. And it's been, I think last one we did was before Christmas when we did the, it was a Chilluminati Christmas, excuse me. It's a advent calendar for Chilluminati, it's a secular holiday. It's a company holiday. And
this time, I'm here to bring the chill back into Illuminati Christmas. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's kind of the vibe.
I mean, Illuminati Christmas must end.
Yeah. That's kind of the vibe with Illuminati Christmas, is like, we want no wars. We're just like chill. You know, we're like super chill. So like, I feel like that's really good. Anyway, we invite you to share your stories of things that have happened to you in this world, things that you have heard about in your local town, things that you've experienced that you can't explain, the scariest moments of your life, and sometimes a dream or two. So all of those things are going to be represented in today's listener stories. I've got a nice little selection for you. I don't believe I've done the mortal but understandable sin of pulling one that I've already used somewhere else, because I am, as you can maybe tell by my personality, disorganized. But I don't think I did. And I spent a little bit more time stressing about it than I probably should have. So let's start.
Listen, man, we're 340 odd episodes in.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes when you're looking for stories, like, wait a minute, have we done this one? I can't go listen to 20 different story episodes to make sure.
So
do you think we should have like some sort of document that just lists everything we've done?
There's actually, let me tell you, there's actually probably like six of those.
But like just in the episodes, but also the things we talk. Like, I just feel we should.
We have them. They just,
and then it's available to all three of us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, that would work.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
The first one is called I'm Sorry, I'll Get Out of Your Way. That's by Minute Rooster. It's for Mathis to read.
All right, here we go. Traditionally, for New Year's Eve, my family goes over to my dad's friend's house for a big party. This story takes place in our prep time before going to one such party when I was 10 or 11. On the night I was sitting on the staircase playing my new-ish Nintendo DSi.
Very specific time period.
Extremely specific. Playing Pokemon White that I had just gotten for Christmas or Christmas the year before. All of a sudden, I felt as though I was being watched, which would have been hard to do as my sister and parents were all downstairs and I was facing the bottom of the stairs. Thinking it might have been a cat, I just looked up to the clock with a mirror wall ornament that rests on the wall of the staircase. In the reflection of the mirror at the top of the stairs were two bare feet in frills like that of doilies trimming. Seeing an unknown figure, I quickly turned around to see nothing at the top of the stairs, turning back to the mirror, and she was still there. At this point, I politely said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in your way, I'll move," and got up and walked down into the living room and sat on the couch and continued playing for the rest of the night. The rest of the night was uneventful. I didn't tell anyone at the time about what I saw.
That's like Finn when he sees that like crazy thing in that house, that haunted ghost. He's like, all right, and I'm just going to file that away and it's gone. Goodbye.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like that. For some context, and the reason why I prefaced that both houses were remodeled multiple times, there are odd things about a ghost to be waiting specifically where I saw her. When my parents moved in, the main part of the house they remodeled was how the staircases between the basement, first floor, and second floor work. When they purchased the house, the stairs used to connect kitchen to second floor den, back hall to basement, and they changed the orientation to kitchen to basement and second floor den to back hall.
Well, how did that, what do you mean they changed the orientation?
I don't know. I do like not understand how that works. I was trying to figure out in my head, and I'm picturing that game
Labyrinth where you like slide the tiles in. Did I just date myself? I don't know. Maybe I just dated myself.
We're all the same age. What are you talking about? I have never played Labyrinth game. I know the Labyrinth movie.
Have I dated my co-hosts by association?
Oh shit. We're all older.
We're all Labyrinth bros.
The stairs are in the same vertical space. They just changed the orientation of them. Okay, it's almost like the story tried to answer our question and didn't really answer anything. So if that explanation was a bit confusing, it's just to say that if a ghost was waiting there, it would go against the idea that ghosts are impressions from the past, because she was waiting to go down the stairs in the current orientation. Something that happened within 12 years of when this interaction took place. I know what they're saying.
They reversed the stairs.
Yeah, like if the ghost is an impression on history, then the ghost should appear where the stairs once were, not where the stairs are now.
Exactly. I get
it. Gotcha. Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm with you. Yes.
Yeah. Could I have just thought it was my sister and she was playing a prank on me? Well, one, she was downstairs, and two, she doesn't have an 1800s Victorian murdered girl dress, so I have my doubts that it was my sister. Why didn't I say anything to anyone? I don't know. I was too invested in Pokemon and it didn't feel threatening. I guess that's kind of 11-year-old, 10-year-old. I kind of like that. It also, we've talked about this in ghost episodes before. That's the end of the story for listeners.
Right,
but we talked about this for ghost episodes before, where like there seems to be, if we were to take ghosts as ghosts and not a layer of a greater phenomenon that might be, you know, encapsulate everything, there are the ideas of like intelligent hauntings, which are ones that are aware that they are dead and kind of stuck and can move. But then there are, like impressions that are that historical thing where they repeat the same action on the same time every night, whether it be walking through, which is why you see ghosts walk through walls or walk through closed doors, not really paying attention or even like acknowledging you're there, because those are like the impressions of what they once did.
Yes.
And then there's the ones that are supposed to be intelligent, which you seem to be implying.
Ghostbusters style. Yeah.
The
ones that are physically present in the space and that you can easily suck into like vacuum type.
But why? Technology. Why are we never talking about, we always talk about how there are ghosts that can it's interactable with you, but then there are ghosts that are like the reflections of the thing, and we call the ones that interact with you intelligent.
Yes.
Why don't we call the ones that don't interact with you intelligent? It seems like they don't care you exist. Simply say that those ghosts can't be bothered with the living?
It's interesting because, like, yeah, you could make that point.
Unconcerned ghosts.
The idea behind it, to push my glasses up and say, actually, the idea behind it is that, like, it's not even like they're consciously there. It's more like a record playing, an imprint of history that
versus
just
an
plays
entity
on its own, whether you're there or not, no matter what wall is there, versus an entity, exactly, which is like cognizantly and consciously aware. Is that true?
I'm trying to find a fun devil's advocate thing to jump in here and be like, some people go do the same thing every day of their life while living.
It's true.
So couldn't a ghost simply be like, I'm doing what I like. I don't care true. About you.
Have you guys ever read The Invention of Morel? Or Morel?
No.
I can't remember. It's a translated story. I forget. Forgive me for the pronunciation. I believe the original author is like Argentinian or something. Bioy Casares, I think. Something like that. It's about this guy. It's almost like Lost or something, where this guy like shows up on an island. And he, I think he like washes ashore there, and he's surprised to see that on the island is like some like socialites living sort of like a normal sort of vacation-y type lifestyle in a big manor together.
Mm.
And there's like this one girl there that he sees that he like really like is moved by. And slowly he realizes that what he's watching is some sort of like looping recording of something that happened a long time ago.
Mm.
But then he figures out a way to like insert himself into the story and have moments alone with this girl and sort of like have his own story told alongside the other story. And it's like, if he repeats it over and over again, and eventually maybe he becomes part of the recording, like what is the difference? It's a kind of interesting story. I don't know. Only slightly related, but you brought it up. So no, if you are interested in a little mind adventure, it's a very short little book, Invention of Morel, probably a one or two. It's like a bathroom reader. It's a good one.
Okay. Oh, this sounds like a good, like, I see where that comes from, obviously, with the idea of like that reprint over and over again. The other thing about the devil's advocate side of it is just like, well, if they are imprints of history, again, there's always that argument of like, Earth is not sitting still and in the vacuum of space. It is moving at all times. Why, if they are repeats of history, how come they're moving with the Earth and not moving with...
Right, we'd be staying orbiting in place the in sun. Space
or whatever, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
there could be something to that too, though. Like if you buy into like some kind of like new sphere recording type concept that it's like central to the planet rather than to like... Maybe it is a recording of a spaceship that's playing it on the holodeck, and it maybe is playing in the same space.
The vibrancy of Earth is what's allowing the recording to play. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
There's a million ways you can write yourself out of it.
You can like just keep Descarting it all the way to the top.
You really can. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely correct.
But yeah, that's a great little first starter.
I like it.
Yeah. This next one is called The Time I Almost Got Shot by Female Odd. And it goes like this. This isn't really paranormal or anything, but Alex mentioned almost getting shot once in the minisode, and it reminded me of the time that I almost got shot. So I figured I'd share the story because why not? If the guys want to share it on the pod, feel free. And I do. And so I did. It was 2011, and I had just moved into an apartment with my boyfriend at the time and two other roommates. The living room was generally the group hangout area, but it was also the bedroom of one of the roommates, seeing as how it was a two-bedroom apartment and we were all in our 20s and didn't want to share rooms. This is just to provide context as to why there was only one outlet available for me to plug my laptop into in the living room area. Anyway, so I was laying on the floor, half in the living room and half in the hallway, doing something on my laptop with it plugged into the sole free outlet in the living room. My boyfriend was playing video games, and at some point, he had gotten his gun out to either clean it or something. I didn't pay much attention to it because it made me uncomfortable, and it was laying on the floor.
As someone who is around guns so much now, I am the same way. Yeah. Anytime one's around, I'm like, I don't want to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be in the room.
Yeah. Suddenly, my ear is ringing, deaf in right ear since birth, and I'm confused like I've just been flashbanged. Myself, the boyfriend, and the roommate who was home all are just, what the fuck happened? The gun that was laying on the living room floor had misfired. It definitely fired from being on the floor. There was a burn in the carpet. And there was an entry hole in the wall not more than a foot away from where my head was. The bullet passed through the wall and into the freezer. The sole paranormal aspect of this story, other than the gun apparently firing on its own, was that the bullet made it into the freezer proper, as in there was a bullet hole going into the freezer, but we never found the bullet. Great. Anyway, my boyfriend clutched me like he almost lost something precious and sold the gun to try to make up for almost negligently killing me.
Hey, honestly, good on him for selling the gun as a reaction.
This didn't stop him from cheating on me and gaslighting me the entire rest of our relationship.
Oh my God.
But I digress.
I take all of that back. Fuck your boyfriend.
The three of us who were present told the roommate who was at work at the time the story to explain the bullet holes, but then swore to never speak of it again. Except I'm telling the story now because it's been 14 years. And if Justin has a problem with it, he can eat my ass and not in the good way. Thanks for reading.
Wow, fucking great story. I love the way that ended. That's scary as shit. Guns scare the shit out of me. Fuck that. I hate them.
One time somebody was chill. My grandpa and grandma had a house in Carson for a while where Carson is like one of those like 70s same look neighborhoods, but then it was kind of fashionable to like get some tin and like add on a little more extension to the house afterwards. And so that part of the house was a little bit less
structurally sound.
Yeah. Just a little bit less solid than the rest of the house. And there's a recliner where my grandpa literally always sat anytime that he was sitting and watching television. And one day we were like, what is that? What is that? Looking at the roof and looking at the ceiling inside the house. And we were like, what the hell is that? And there was a fucking bullet hole right above my grandfather's chair. And we started digging through the chair, and in the cushions, we found a fucking bullet. And it was somebody shot a gun into the fucking air and it landed right where his fucking head would be.
Like, he just don't care, that. Man.
Isn't that crazy? Like,
yeah. That is nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that.
Secretly think you're a pussy if you want gun owner, but guns are fucking scary.
They are. They're literally a tool for death.
And at least half of you, I believe, will agree with me that they deserve to be respected and to be feared.
Responsible gun owners, which there are many who exist out there. I know you're out there.
I hear you.
A guy who is cleaning his gun, who didn't clear the chamber first before putting the gun just like on a table and not taking out like the fucking mag. That's insane.
It could have started a fire even.
Crazy. Anyway.
Crazy, scary story. Where's the bullet? Paranormal. Chilluminati. Magic bullet, justified. Dude. Yeah. All right. Next one's for Jesse.
Okay. The Spirit Parade by Squiggle Wiggle. Squiggle Wiggle, I'm going to let you know. I'm losing my voice, so my apologies to you. Greetings again, fellow Chilluminats and dynamic duo from downtown, co-hosted by our favorite maniacal mind, Michael Mathis Martin.
What a fucking what a first sentence to this story.
Okay. Hello.
Evidently, I'm in a wordy mood today, and I just so happened to experience something that reminded me about a dream I had a while ago. So today, I present to you that dream with modern markups and past me postulations in parentheses. Provided for podcasting purposes as well. Dream interpreting encouraged.
This is like the guy that in real life like ends up being the Wizard of Oz in the dream version. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. These names like Professor Marvel or something like that.
Yeah.
Additionally, I would like to say on a scale of Jesse to Mathis, I'm mostly an Alex with a quarter Jesse. I'm really into mythology, so I can put on a humorous lens. And there's a very small part of me that occasionally deeply wants to believe in other life forms visiting our planets and stopping by for a peek at the Chaos Zoo.
That term, that word, by the way, it means, for people who don't know what I didn't, it's the theory that myths and gods originated from exaggerated tales of real historical people and events. That's what euhemerism is.
It's like the Eternals. It's
exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Correct.
What?
It is. They literally are real creatures that inspire all the stories of the gods.
Sure. I was assuming like a guy named Hercules killed a lion once and they made a whole legend out of him is what I'm assuming they mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like a celestial android left behind to guard the egg of a budding celestial, which begins to emerge from the
Ocean. No. I like Both to imagine all real. Of world history is a bad movie. Yes.
That's where adamantium comes
Me
from.
Me too. Yeah, no, I get it.
Harrison Ford is the Hulk.
Without further ado, enjoy the ride. 29-24. Third person. A few nights ago, I had a dream about watching a parade of spirits go through town. It happens every so often at night, and somebody tells me that I must respect the spirits by never talking or standing in their path. Basically, don't interrupt the Black Parade is what I'm adding. That's my little addition. Basically, don't interrupt the procedure in any way. I sat by the side of the road and watched as they appeared out of some fog, saunter through town, then disappear into a dense cloud. The first set to appear seemed to be human-sized, roughly, but the spirits didn't look human. It felt like they were out of a Japanese folklore film. They were all bipedal, pure black bodies with stick-like legs and arms. Each one wore a unique, bright ivory oval mask and varying white accessories such as antlers or something comparable to a necklace. Some had half a rib cage, etc. I just add this. Whatever anime you watched before this, I wish I had, because that sounds baller. Anyway.
Dude, that line just gave me the biggest deja vu.
I'm telling you, I've seen that before.
You said that. You just like you saying that. I'm like, I've done this before. Wait a minute.
The anime line?
Yeah, the anime line made this like looking at the script and Jesse saying in his tone, I was immediate like, I have been here.
You're having a listener story experience in real time during the listener stories episode.
I think sometimes when we listen to listener like dream stories.
Yeah.
A lot of time I want to like hyper interpret it, but I think over the years that we've done this, I'm like, what were you into this week? What were you doing that influenced this dream the way it did? The second set were twice the size of the with the notable difference being the masks. Instead of an oval, they all were darkly outlined, contorted faces, typically bearing a smile, grin, or distress. They had hands now, still peg-legged. The third and final set were four times the size of the previous group, with no masks or any wet accessories and massive hands and feet, each being easily the size of two bathtubs. They ambled with the speed and grace of a giant. I especially made sure not to make any noise as they passed. It was magnificent and terrifying. Flash forward to this morning, and I have this dream again. The spirit parade going to come through town again, as it does at the end of every moon or every moon cycle. This time, I brought D along. For context of the story, dear readers, D is my partner. Lady D? Well, there's a problem.
That is the problem.
Yeah, there's a crush. At first, they were hesitant because I told them the rules about having to stay quiet and not join the parade. But once it started, they got a little excited, too excited. Fog rolls in, the first group appeared, and Dee starts talking about the features of spirits as the first group went by. With a swift turn, every mask in the parade stared the moment Dee's mouth was open. Dee got bolder. I don't know how you would get bolder on the second group. Dee got bolder as the second group passed, running and dancing between them as they passed, saying, "It's no big deal, and they can't touch us." Some of them tried to grab Dee, but just weren't fast enough. Watching this, I was frozen, mortified. He returned to my side as the last of them passed by and into the fog. The final group made their slow approach, and Dee was amazed by the sheer size of them. They went to go out and touch one of their feet. The moment they did, the giant swept Dee up into its hands. They were terrified, screaming, "Help me! Help me!" Of which I could do nothing but watch in tears, with tears in my eyes, until they all left. Once it was over, I quickly returned to our house to see what I can do to bring back Dee before they are trapped forever. The entire house is completely different now. All of our belongings that were tied to Dee are gone, and nearly every room had no furniture or decorations. At some random point, some spirit gave me a small circle with a bead woven in it. The thread was woven into a star-like pattern, and the bead acted like a compass to point where there was a spirit present or nearby. Also, isn't that one of those like spirit catchers? So technically, you can catch D.
Yeah,
just saying.
There you go.
Catch the D.
Yeah,
with a spirit compass.
I walk around our near empty house, holding the device, waiting for it to tell me what I'm looking for. I eventually arrive in a room where every wall has large curtain blinds on it, extending the length of the walls. When I point at the one farthest from the doorway, the bead starts shaking intensely. As I moved closer, it gets even crazier. It felt like it was going to fly off of the string, bounce around like flubber.
It's like the Witcher's medallion.
Good old flubber.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, the Witcher medallion vibration.
I stand a distance away from the curtain because I can start to see an outline of something standing behind it. I shout at whatever it is to show itself. Very quickly,
just flashes him.
A young dwarven lady in a wedding dress jumps out with tears in her eyes, begging for me to help her. Yes, she had a full beard, as any proud dwarf would should bestow.
Gorgeous.
I tell her that I will help in exchange for helping me get D back. She agrees, and then the rest of the dream is somewhat of a blur. I run around our house doing weird random tasks. After what feels like 8 hours of this, she shows me a pathway that leads me to travel to the spirit realm. I wander for only a minute before finding them walking among the parade. I grab their hand, and we promptly head back to our world. Thank you for your time and minds. May you all have a lovely week.
I know what I think.
Please let us know.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I'm just going to lay it out quickly. I'm not going to explain myself, and I want to emphasize before I begin that I think that the presence of this thought process does not imply intent on the part of the dreamer before I proceed. But okay. I believe what we have here is a perception of life as a linear process, like a linear series of phases. And I think that we flirted with the idea of whether or not we wanted to be with our partner for the rest of our lives. And then we discovered in doing so that we really did miss them and want to be with them in the context of this dream. That's what I think.
Interesting. So I had to go look just to verify, because when I was making an anime joke, it does ring as something, and it absolutely is true. There literally is a parade of ghosts in Japanese folklore that 100 yokai at night walk in a parade, and if you mess with them in any sort of way, they just get your ass.
Oh, that is straight up the story.
It is the story. Yeah.
So
witnessing it without protection brings misfortune, acting as a warning of impending trouble, or a manifestation of communal fears is what the folklore version of this is.
Huh.
Interesting.
I mean, that's almost like spot on, to be honest. Like,
yeah, I wonder if they either read about that before the dream, or maybe they watched, like you said, an anime.
But I feel like it has to be an anime, because that's like if it's a Japanese trope.
Yeah.
Literally, the parade of 100 demons is a thing.
That's crazy.
Maybe it's real and you actually were there.
You witnessed the parade of demons.
Yeah. Like, any of them is worth considering in the case of spirits. But I think what I think.
Here's what I would say. If Ghost You care so deeply about your partner, and getting them back, it shows the connection you have. Because I'm going to let you know, there's not many people I would go to a ghost realm and save.
Right.
I'd be like, I told you not to do that shit, and you did it? Bye. You weren't respect. That's like when you go out with someone. Like, if you go on a date for the first time, and that person's rude to the waiter. No, like, bye.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's kind of where I was like taking it. The dream is like, maybe it's your subconscious being like, she doesn't respect the same things you do, and you need to just let her be taken and like let it go and just move on.
I mean, like, yeah, if that's what the beginning of, but like the idea that you want to go
save
bring
her,
this person back shows how much you care about them despite any flaws, which I think is also important.
It's a thought experiment, right? It happened in your brain, right? It's not right. I want to and I'm going to. It's like, what if this happened? What would happen?
There's plenty of times that you can be in a relationship with someone. They'll be like, I woke up and I had a dream that you were cheating on me. It's like, that's an internalized fear. That's not like a thing that happened that's real. It just exists. And it's like, well, why did you feel that way? What was the dream about? And then you talk about it like rational adults and you move the fuck on.
And you never, ever hold it against your partner, even for half a day.
Because it's a dream. Yeah, it's not a real thing.
Even if it's a really scary dream and you were really disturbed by it and you have trouble looking at them for a little while, it's okay to live in that reality and also not hold it against them.
I understand if you think that people are throwing themselves at me. I get it.
That's how fucking crazy cool your brain is, though. Like, it can generate scenarios in your mind that elicit such strong emotions they linger for your waking conscious hours.
And if that's the case, then what don't we understand about what? That's the cool stuff. Like,
and how far are we from seeing Constantine in real life anyway?
Right. Exactly correct, though.
Exactly correct.
I'm rereading a book I've read before by Jacques Vallée. I'm really in that mindset right now.
Yeah.
Are we going to go to the next story?
It's all you, baby.
All right. My argument for the existence of souls by Turcos. I love that name. Hello, everyone. I've been kicking around sharing these stories for a while and have finally got the motivation to write them all down. I've always been more of a Jesse, believing that there is a scientific explanation for almost everything, although I admit that I have no possible grounded explanation for the following other than some weird confirmation bias. Here's what I'll say about that statement right out the gate. Science is all about trying to explore and explain the unexplained. So that's what's fun about it. Just because you experience something that science can't currently explain, it doesn't mean
that's an excuse to do more science, baby.
Exactly correct. Please feel free to share on the pod if interested, although I know it's a little lengthy. And quick trigger warning, there is mention of death, one of them by suicide. Before I get into each of the specific examples, with the exception of the first one, there was a strong emotional connection with the person who passed. I am fully convinced that when you are close with someone, there is some sort of connection that forms. And when one of those sides dies, there's a rebound in that connection of some sort. I have no scientific explanation other than some weird quantum nonsense, but I am an engineer, not a physicist. And I get that feeling. I fully believe that there's something, there's personal experiences in my life and my family's life where it's just like knowing something happened to a family member before anyone's ever told you something's happened, just being like,
it's happened to me more than once. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very weird.
I think I've talked about it on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very strange. Admittedly, this one is probably the weakest story, but it's something that my mom has confirmed happened. I was around the age of 5 and had been having trouble sleeping. So I decided to make it my parents' problem and climbed into their bed like so many young kids do. I'd been facing away from the window in the room, but felt something odd and rolled over to see a relatively kind looking transparent blue man wearing what looked like a World War II flight suit. They didn't move or reach for me other than a slight head tilt. From what I remember now, 23 years later, he looked like he could have been from my mom's side, but I never saw anyone matching in family picture albums. We lived in fairly new military cookie cutter housing, so it couldn't have been a haunted property. I woke up both of my parents saying there was a man in the window, but he looked nice. And when I looked back, he was gone. So I imagine the parents clarified that what happened is you woke up and you said that. That's interesting, though. There's so many like notable military hauntings that happen, like that are stories that carry. We've read a few on this show.
There's been a couple about like airplanes and stuff, sounds like crazy stuff like that.
The blue is getting me. Transparent blue, like an Obi-Wan hologram.
That's exactly my mind is like a Force ghost.
That one image of Palpatine from episode 1 where the hologram like glitches for a second and he gets all like boosted.
Yep.
That's what I'm going to imagine.
Second story is my father. My dad and I weren't always close, but something changed in late high school and we started playing Magic the Gathering together a lot. That's a great hobby. Averaging close to 40 hours a week in standard between our practice at home and Friday night magic. Oh, I miss Friday night magic. I miss my younger years of doing Friday night magic. I burned out on MTG, fair, so did I. But when I went to college, we both got into Warhammer. Damn. That's like from one expensive hobby to an even more expensive hobby.
Some hobbies, all right. Yeah.
This is both gotten to Warhammer, which is important, and Diablo 3 seasonal grinds, mostly unimportant, but we pulled multiple all-nighters near season ends. Yeah, that's fun. I had a job at a naval shipyard as an engineer lined up out of college, and my last week home, me and my dad played a massive 12,000 point match of Sigmar and he destroyed me. I don't even know much about Warhammer. I know that's an enormous army like size. That's crazy. As a token of thanks for everything he had done for me and to commemorate the victory with some mini storytelling, I pulled the head unglued off of my Star Drake mini and gave it to him as a trophy.
That's fucking cool shit. That's fucking baller.
That's awesome. Just before I started my new job, my father ended up taking his own life due to some unresolved mental health issues from his time in the army. Yeah. And sadly, like just like a too common a story.
I've lost multiple people in my life to something like this as well.
Yeah. Around 2:30 a.m., the model I had taken apart fell over despite being fairly large and packed well. I had a profound sense that something had gone wrong, along with possibly a thump in my chest, and I tried texting, but it didn't matter. We were told around 10 a.m. that he had been found presumed dead around 2 to 3. Full disclosure for this paragraph, my mental health wasn't the best, and I was self-medicating with alcohol. About a year after, I constantly felt like there was something in my apartment with me. One of these nights, I decided to try something to get some rest on a night that I was fairly tipsy, although I distinctly remember feeling the presence on nights I was sober. I sat up and said, "Dad, please leave me alone. We'll have enough time for hobbying eventually." And most of the presence felt like it left finally. I didn't have any issues for the year or so afterwards that I was at this apartment. I mean, that's fucking tragic. I'm sorry that happened, but like,
I am really sorry to hear that, but it is so relatable. The idea of forming a little belief in your mind and then finally acting on it out of nowhere, like much later. It's very interesting.
There's probably a part where you're debating yourself of like, is it even just in my head? But there is something, even if like the feeling didn't go away or whatever, there's something therapeutic about just saying that shit out loud.
It's the reason why people go to tombstones.
Yeah.
And just talk to a grave. Yeah.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
The next story is my mother. 3 years after my dad passed, my mom had a long string of health issues that eventually led to her death in an ambulance on the way to the hospital. She had been talking less in our family group chat than usual that day, but had consistently been in and out of urgent care, so it wasn't anything unusual. Something was different that day, though, and I started feeling off again, almost like a panic attack, followed by a crash where I could almost hear her say something. I was not as close with my mom, which is why I think I felt less, on top of being 2 time zones away. I am confident, however, I knew she was gone before I got the call from my sister. She also swears that she knew her mother passed before her sister called because she heard, quote, "I'm okay now, baby girl," end quote.
I've heard people say the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard so many stories like that.
I knew when my dad was going to tell me that my grandfather passed away somehow. I don't know how. I didn't know that he was sick, I don't think. I was just watching Batman with Adam West at the time. And I just knew for somehow when he came in, he was like, "What's up, man?" And I was like, "Grandpa's dead." It was crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's hard to explain like what that is, right?
Maybe we're just like way better at like body language than we know.
Yeah, maybe, you can pick up like internal things. Like, yeah. All these stories so far, I know we got some more to go for this, but like one of the things that I keep picking up on, and maybe this goes back to the previous one as well, I don't know that I necessarily... I'm like, oh, this is proof of the soul.
Sure.
But I do believe that it may be one of those like proof of human connection or brainwave connection on a level beyond what we understand. Because even I will admit there's moments where like, something happens and I'll be like, yo, I knew that was like, I knew that was happening. But I also don't know if, like Alex is saying, there's subtle hints and things where you pick up on stuff and you mentally prepare for the worst. So when the worst happens, you're like, well, I knew that was going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to know. Like,
it's like Jason Bourne knowing how many dudes are in a room in like 2 seconds. Like somehow.
Yes. Like, yes. Yeah. You size it up real quick.
It's weird.
And you understand.
Like, this is related to the connection thing. My dad, this is a story about my dad, but my dad, I remember very vividly as a kid, all the way into my teen years, he had a friend named Russ, and my dad knew, and it was a joke between my mom, I mean, my sister, my brother, me, my dad knew when Russ was going to call, usually a day before Russ was going to call. Mm. And it was always, he'd get a feeling. He's like, I just have a feeling. I just have a Russ feeling. Like, and there was no, didn't seem to be any pattern. And it was dead on every single time. And it was the most bizarre thing that, like, thinking about now, I haven't thought about that in forever. It's just like, there's that, maybe there is just like a quantum, like, connection between brain waves of people who are close friends. I don't know. It's weird. The next story is my wife's cat. Oddly, I also felt a fairly strong physical thump when my wife's cat died at the age of 10. I'd always hated cats, but he was the first one I had ever lived with, and he was as close to the perfect cat as anyone could have. I had to take care of him completely solo a few times while my wife was on field work, and after a year, I loved the little guy. He had a slew of health issues, namely FIV and diabetes, and my wife noticed, of all things, a slight change in his purr that led us to take him to the vet where he crashed. I was trying to convince my wife that he was going to be okay, but I felt like I got kicked in the chest once and had a sinking feeling, but we still heard the vet rushing around behind the door. A bit later, I felt a second thump and the commotion died down. We were told later that he fought hard and came back once. Now, like I said earlier, I don't have a real explanation for anything, and even typing it out, I still feel a little crazy. I know I rambled a little bit, but I can provide any additional information to the best of my ability. Mm-hmm. And if you've had anything similar happen when a loved one passes, I'd appreciate your stories as well. So I feel a little less crazy.
Pretty
you are super far from crazy. Like we all just super said, like common, we've all yeah. had that happen.
It doesn't seem possible, but somehow you can kind of grok it from nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sorry to say such an evil word. It didn't used to mean that. Sorry.
I know. Yeah. It used to mean something different.
But there is an absolute weird phenomenon that is almost universal across most people that, like, again, it could be that we just as humans pick up on subtleties in a way that we don't truly understand, and that lets us know things. But it also could be on a higher level that, like, because you spend so much time with these people and you're so connected to them, that, like, there's something else going on. Like, I don't know. I don't know that it proves a soul thing, but right. It does prove something.
You're pretty good friends with some people.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely say something is happening, but I have no idea what.
Yep.
For sure. This next one is called I Shouldn't Be Here, and it's by Fake Happy. First time caller, long time listener. Hey. Another dream story. Feel free to read on pod if you find this interesting. This dream may have only been on about 2 minutes long, but it made me go crazy for a couple weeks after. It just felt so real. I had a dream that was so real, I still feel uncomfortable by it. It happened just as I was waking up in the morning. I started to lucid dream. This is somewhat common for me, although it hasn't happened in a few years. I just don't remember it ever being like this. I woke up in the dream in the back of a car with three boys my age, early 20s. I could hear music playing. I could hear tires on the road. There was blue sky, few clouds, a line of trees on our left. It was a warm summer's day, but I didn't know where we were or where we were heading. We were on a country road, no markings, and there were open fields to our right. I remember noting that we were driving on the right side of the road, which they said was strange because they drive on the other side of the road, I believe, in reality. The issue is I could hear, feel, see, smell every detail, which is very uncommon for my lucid dreaming. Usually things are kind of off. I couldn't fly out of the car or go to third person. None of the normal dream things. I could feel how uncomfortable I had slept in the back of the car, the sweat and the heat from being compact. My legs were sore from being too tall to fit properly. In real life, I'm 5'5 and don't have this issue. I was so confused. I looked at the guys and they were chattering, the guys in the driver's seat turning the volume down. I looked to the guy on my left. I was sat right, back seat behind the passenger. And he looked back at me confused. I said, where my voice was very quiet and weak, as it usually is when you first wake up. I was so confused, getting stuck between thoughts. Then I said, I shouldn't be here. The guys chuckled a little out of confusion, but carried on. I said, no, this isn't right. I shouldn't be here. I have to leave now. The guy to my left looked concerned and said, dude, are you okay? I learned as a child that if I get stuck in a dream, I can close my eyes super tight and wake myself up when I reopen them. So I said, I have to leave now again and close my eyes tight, waking myself up back in my bed. I got the idea stuck in my head that I woke up in the wrong body for a moment rather than having just a wild dream. Is there anyone out there who went on a road trip with their buddies, fell asleep in the back, and then woke up briefly confused and muttering how they shouldn't be there before falling back to sleep? That would be wild, but part of me is convinced it was real.
That's fascinating. I've never had anything like that happen, obviously, but I've read a few stories, they're not usually common, but a few stories online of similar things happening, of people like coming to or after falling asleep and being not in the right place, but people being confused as to why you don't feel like you'd be there, and then you kind of re-wake up in your other, but you have all the senses, like the sense of smell and all that stuff. It's weird.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, I think we were talking about this a little bit in the dream episode, but like going back to like what we were saying just a second ago about like these sort of like connections between people, right? Like, wasn't there something that I did an episode on that was like somebody was able to do a math problem while they were sleeping together? They were like both asleep and they transmitted information between each other to add together math.
Oh, I don't know about that one, but I have read and I think we talked about on the show at one point, the lucid dreamers where they're able to pass a word along. Like, it was the same brain waves, like measured all this stuff when they like the whole study, but it's like, you can, it's really weird. Like, I don't know.
So that happened, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, so what the fuck does that mean? Am I like putting out a smell? Am I putting out a pheromone that has encoded like mimetic data into it?
I know I am not an educated internet clown.
That's like, what I'm asking. I don't know.
But like, it does make me like my belief, the more I genuinely blame this show for doing this to me. But like, my beliefs have now gone to this place of like esoteric, like shared consciousness on a quantum level of like kind of connectedness among people, of like this idea that like when you die, like maybe you don't have a soul, but maybe your impressions of consciousness filtered through this experience kind of rejoin a collective unconscious of like a permanent fractalization of reality, of the universe experiencing itself in all possible ways and all possible like combinations. And like, maybe there is just a shared consciousness that people, maybe when they meditate, people who meditate or other things, like you just every once in a while, you just can open up and crack into briefly. But I don't know, because maybe it is all just like, I don't fucking know. I don't
like,
know.
I realize it's a big leap from like doing a math problem while you're sleeping with someone to like opening your eyes in their body, like if they're a My Little Pony, you know, but like
that's
But I feel like there's something, like, I feel like the line that is impossible about that is already crossed by the scientific one.
See, I think, what if the explanation,
if we're really going to dissect this for a minute here,
because we have a little bit of time.
Like, sure.
If we're really going to dissect this, what if it isn't he woke up in somebody else's body? But what if block universe theory is real? And there's as many parallel timelines that sit on top of each other. Like,
he was just in another version of himself.
Correct. Like, what if he's just waking up in another version of himself on a reality that is like not super far off? Because in a block universe, to humans, there's technically, it would feel like an infinite number of timelines, but there would be a actual limited number of timelines that can fit in a block universe. It's just a number so high we can't count it.
It's a peacemaker situation.
Sure. Yeah. Like a peacemaker, but like, yeah, what if that's it? What if it was just like you wobbled into another used body for a minute, which is why it's the same brain physically, right? So it would be able to receive the signal in a similar way.
Yeah.
But you're also like, this isn't my life. I don't know these people. And you go back to sleep and you can wake up in your body. What if that's what's
like Wreck-It Ralph, but with heads.
Instead of matrixing somebody else's body, it's just you slipping into a block universe timeline.
Can I assert,
please,
my new headcanon based on your hypothesis?
Sure.
Is this literal headcanon?
Oh, it is now. Oh, I'm in. I'm in for this. I love this idea. Oh, I'm so in. Okay. If we exist at the same time and multiple universes across time and space, and we're all overlaid on each other. I like the idea now. This is Cox. This is Cox universe time.
This is Coxian.
I like the idea that we are all but a fraction of one greater whole, but there are, let's say, 8 billion Mathises. But each time a Mathis dies, part of him goes back to the collective Mathises. And what ends up happening is that when we see people in our reality who are 120, right, or whatever, people who are old, more of them have died and conglomerated into a super being until there is but one Highlander-esque version of us that is all the versions of us that is the longest lived. And only then, when that person dies, do all of us die.
The immortal timeline.
There's one version of us that gets to just live the longest, but it isn't like that guy's immortal. It's just like he just, you know, the older you get, it all funnels in and you just gain a little bit more like superpower until you're like 200 years old.
And you're kind of old regardless. Yeah, that's you're kind of in the oldest one. Yeah.
I don't know if you call it a quantum theory, but there's this quantum like thought experiment that's called quantum immortality, with the understanding that what if consciousness is like a river and it always will just seek the next thing it can be. So if you die, I may die in your reality, but my consciousness slips to the closest living version of me.
That's what I'm saying. And but we're all little shards of ourself.
Yes.
And then we come together Horcruxes, reforming a whole over time. Yeah. And our transcended version, dude. That's like our karma. Like we're just like
enlightened. Yeah, you understand.
Jesse headcanon. I'm here for this.
That's
shit.
Like, I love it. That's when you start to play fucking what's it called on SNES where you're the god. You start to move your little guys around. Yeah,
if anyone wants to join my brand new religion I just created,
but that's
let's
not
go.
Even that far off from like philosophical ideas of just like the universe experiencing itself and fractaling into every possible version of Jesse, because there is like as little as you are, the universe is also technically incomplete without you.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
Like,
you should watch the Japanese
every version of you.
You got to watch that Japanese folklore film, Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yeah, we're all just a big puddle of goo, dude.
Yeah, that's
little
it.
Little big
that's
red puddle. Except seriously, for though, two or three people.
Seriously, though, watch that fucking show, bro.
Oh, yeah. Ava was fucking crazy.
If you're thinking about this type of shit, watch that show, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. That will mess with you for a while.
Yeah.
End of Ava will not sit well.
End of Evangelion is a crazy thing.
You'll be like, what?
How old were you when you first watched Ava?
Oh, dude, it was my first girlfriend was like, we should watch this. And I was like, okay. Yeah, that was God. 15, well, I would have been
same,
high school at some point.
Yeah. So we all had that 15-year-old experience of like watching Ava for the first time.
Some stuff blew my mind. That was one of them. Metal Gear Solid 2 was one of them. Killer 7 was one of them. There was a lot
I remember
of
watching
ones.
Akira in seventh grade and being like, what the fuck? But I also at that time they had Vampire Hunter D and stuff. And it was what made it great is because it's always in the section of like the DVD or whatever store in the back. Like for some reason, Akira was like, that's dirty, which made us want to watch it even more.
Rips.
Dude, this is going to be the most old man thing I've said in a while, but I feel bad for the youth because they'll never have their minds blown from like a Psycho Mantis Switch controller ports fight.
No,
like that'll just never have, like you just can't, technology is too good now. Like that simple thing will never.
Yeah. Actually, though, if you play Death Stranding, there's plenty of joy. There's plenty of bizarre gamer joy to be had.
Death Stranding 2 was a fever dream.
Bizarre like, gamer joy. Oh, you mean exactly a Kojima dream? Yeah.
Yes, it was the most Kojima game I think I have ever fucking played.
I don't know why
Death Stranding 2 outweirded its first one by a factor of 20.
That sounds right. That sounds correct.
Giant flesh mechs with like,
I love flesh mechs. That's one of my favorite ways to have dinner.
I consider myself a flesh mech.
I love flesh mechs.
Yeah. It's like it's that are made of hands. Flesh mechs made of hands.
I have those. Oh my god!
I know it's crazy. But your head is the Metal Gear head from the Metal Gear Rex.
Great. Yeah. That's how I view myself.
Why do people who don't do drugs think that you can't blow your own mind?
Like, I know.
There's so much stuff that you can just think about that blows your own mind.
Have I admitted to you guys the revelation I had when I got really high one time? And to this day, I think about this and I will do this to this day, not high at all. One time I got really high and I was laying in bed and I was like, you know, you tingle sometimes and I was feeling tingly. And I was like, you know what we don't ever do? And I started to like almost cry. And I was like,
I'm so ready for this.
We never thank our white blood cells for looking out for us.
They're fighting for us at all times.
Like every day they're just in us fighting the good fight and we never thank them. And I literally was like verbally saying, thank you guys for keeping me going.
They're alive so out much. There.
This is you on weed?
Yes.
They're alive in there.
What I was like, they're alive inside of me. And to this day, I am hey, white blood cells.
That's an anime right there.
I know you're really, you want to do mushrooms, dude. You're on mushrooms. You're going to be talking like, they're going to be talking back.
I want
to
that.
You're going to be like, what are you going to do?
I was just like, white blood cells, thank you. Like, I felt.
I'm going to make you immortal, bro. Don't worry. We're going to clean for you. Immortality is real. Yeah, we know for sure.
No one ever thanks their own body for keeping them going. No one. And I just want to say, you got to be like, hey, body. Thanks, man. I love you,
maybe,
bro.
Okay.
You're doing some work.
My Martin Luther offshoot of Coxism, spiritual transference, is that each of the dead yous becomes a white blood cell in your body,
and that's why you
live.
Dude.
That's why you live so long.
Yeah. Yes. Yes,
that's why you live to be like 100 million years old.
That's one of the core tenets of our new religion. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Well, man, I wish weed gave me weird revelations.
It did when I was like younger. I remember going to like visual dreamscapes on weed back in the day.
Dude, even my first time smoking weed, that never happened.
To be honest, most of the time I just laugh at like YouTube videos that are barely funny and I laugh really hard and then send it to you guys at like 2 a.m. thinking it's hilarious.
Yes.
But
I love those texts. And I guess Jesse texts at 2 a.m. I immediately know it's just going to be
a video
link.
I get them at like 6 a.m. So they're like really weird when I'm like in my bathroom time.
But that's most of the time. But every once in a while I'll have like a moment of just like pure universal clarity of the dumbest thing ever. Like, no one has said,
our white blood cells.
We just don't think our white blood cells enough.
Where are they?
That's how I felt. Like, it hurt me to my core that we just don't do that.
What can we do for them?
Our text chat is literally just us sending each other's links that we don't respond to each other to.
I watch them all. Don't worry.
But we all do it at different times. Yeah.
Don't worry. I see every single one of those dumb shits. Mine are almost always that one Tim Heidecker band about pee.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes, like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. Your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life, and you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com.
Anyway, last one's from Jesse.
All right. Yasak 9 writes on Jesse's observation in episode 340. So this is a recent one.
Yeah.
Please forgive me if I'm rambling. It's late and I'm in bed enjoying the sultry voices of my favorite boys.
Yeah, do it, Jesse.
Thank you for listening. However, what Jesse said at about the 40-minute mark, and I assume episode 340, about alien stories seemingly centered around we're here to help you and guide humanity because it's lost its way, really made me think. I know several abductees were religious, and one even considered her abductors angels. That being said, Jesse's statement rings true to me in many religions. There is a higher power that will steer us in the right direction. I grew up Christian, so I've always heard stories about angels helping or God, the Holy Spirit, etc., pushing you to do what he wants you to do. I wonder if the relatively recent phenomenon of people saying that aliens are here to help us is a manifestation of the same hope, that there's a higher power that will fix everything, that we don't have to take responsibility for what we've done and take action to fix the world because, oh, the more powerful beings will take care of it. It seems very human to me, almost passing the buck onto something else so we don't have to worry about it. Again, apologies if this is nonsensical. I just find it interesting. Keep up the good work, fellas. I mean, yeah, I think that's, I was like trying to get at that is the idea that no matter what, humanity looks to something else as like, you know, Alex was talking about comics. It's Superman. Superman is the angel alien savior come to Earth to save us. But what it really is, I think, deep in our core is even though the idea of passing the buck and hoping someone else will solve it, the aspirational hope of all of these stories is that somewhere inside all of us is the ability to become Superman or become the angel, not in like flying and spirituality, but like just be a good fucking person.
You're going to get yourself out of your own problems.
Yeah. And yeah. I think there's an aspiration within us all to be like, not only do we want to take care of ourselves, we want to take care of everyone. And we do want to help the world. And like, I genuinely believe that within everyone is the capacity to be like a good ass person, but also you have to admit is the capacity to be a complete douchebag. But I'd like to hope that in the end, at the end of everything, people will recognize like, yeah, being a good person is the better way to go and treating others well is right. And so all these stories, be it a comic or an alien or God or whoever, is told whether, again, like I was saying before, whether any of it's real or not, it doesn't matter. It's the point of it is humans trying to guide themselves to something better, be it with outside help or without. And I'm totally here for that. My little white blood cell religion, they're doing it too. They're like, come on, you can do it, bud. You can do it. Yeah.
With the alien thing, the issue is like, unlike the crusade for Christianity, where they have the promise of Jesus coming back, the aliens are always like, you need to fix your earth or whatever, but we're not going to do it for you. Like, it's always like, you need to do it. Like, it's always, you have to, you need to save your planet, do all these things. But there is
blowing up nukes.
There's a subsection of the UFO like culture, I guess you would call it, where they believe that they are preventing nuclear war. I don't believe that, because if that was the case, why have they not disabled every nuclear device test we've ever done? There's like 500 of them. That makes no sense. Again, the detached observer phenomenon feels more apt, but a lot of the encounters with aliens is this overly like positive message of fixing your earth, but it always is like, you have to fix it. We're not going to come down here and do it for you.
But there is, with that said, there is the phenomenon of, I know you said that like Jesus will just return, but there is this thing that I think we as a nation here in America really should talk about, which is the fact that there is a lot of people in this country who actively believe that if we are permanently, and it's like kind of diabolical in a messed up way, the idea that like if we ally with Israel and then Israel's destroyed, trigger the rapture, let's go, Armageddon begins. Yeah. And that's like fundamentally why they're like so pro-Israeli state, is that as long as it exists, if it can get destroyed, then we're good. And then it's the end of the world and Jesus comes back, which is like a thing people believe. And that's absolutely fucking crazy, dude. Yeah. But like, and those are nuts. People who are like, if I can just do this thing. So it does fall in the same kind of like, people need to make their, you know what I mean? Which is
hard. It's hard when religion begets physical action in the world that involves you taking other people's lives into your hands.
Yes.
I find that really strange. I mean, going back to comic books, talking about Mr. Miracle instead of Superman for a sec, the new gods are gods that are based off concepts, right? They're like the new gods. They're like a replacement of the old gods that died from an old world that we don't have anymore, right? So that's what they are. Jack Kirby is a fucking genius, right? The High Father is about goodness and Darkseid is about badness. And Darkseid has something called the anti-life equation, which is something that you learn and then it makes you an automaton for the rest of your life, right? So when you learn it, it's like a thing that you tell yourself that makes the world a place that's a unwinnable situation for you is the anti-life equation. And Mr. Miracle is kind of the god of escaping, right? He's an escape artist and he escapes by changing the story from a dark side story of anti-life. He's immune to the anti-life equation. He escapes. He doesn't let the shape of things become evil. He thinks his way into a positive mindset where he can get out and therefore he does get out. You know what I mean? Yeah. It totally removes the sort of moralistic vibe of it all. But it keeps that sort of mindset that we're talking about, that sort of like customizable modular mindset that you can kind of like slide into any religion. And it's just kind of interesting the way that it places the power in your hands in the similar way that the aliens are trying to do. All that to say, aliens are the new gods. Jack Kirby was right. The Eternals are real and the Celestials are coming out of the ocean. I'm mixing Marvel and DC here, but you get the idea.
Are comics soft disclosure?
Oh, dude, if something is, it's comics. If there's one art form that has been doing the metaphysical thing longer than any other in the modern world, it's fucking comics, bro.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And that's it for us. Right?
Yeah, that's it. We're so free. Well, thank you guys so much for
Good stories. Thank you guys so much for being here. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. We're off to go do a minisode right now at patreon.com/IlluminatiPod.
Really quick. If you want to add your stories to this list so that I have plenty of stories for next time in a couple months, r/IlluminatiPod on Reddit is the place to go. And please, I had to get Yasak9's permission for this last story, like in real time with a mod mail. So just because I liked it, because I ran out of stories. So if you want us to read it, give us permission when you write it. Just give us soft that soft permission. Give us soft permission to say it on the show. And we'd love to hear from you. Anything that's happened in your town, doesn't have to have been to you, something that happened to your family member, anything interesting that you think would be good on the Chilluminati podcast, just like any of these. We love you. Thank you guys for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Anyway, me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out here." So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky.
Time moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing, just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards.
space. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save